Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
SPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive. TGIF, hope everybody doing well. It is football weekend. We've got high school football coming up tonight over on Wings 94.3, the debut for the Auburn High School Tigers as they are at the Hoover Met. And the voice of the Tigers, Scott Bagwell, will be joining us probably in about a half an hour. And we'll find out if he knows whether he will be inside or out tonight.
You've done more high school
football. I have done a ton of high school football through the years. I have done them in press boxes, out on top of press boxes, beside press boxes, completely out of press boxes. I've done one I told you about from a payphone. It's much easier to do if you're in a press box and you have a view of the field. I'll tell you that. I mean, he'll have a view of the field, but we will talk to Scott and see what the situation is for Auburn and Hoover tonight.
Yeah, you never know what high school football is going to give you, right? I mean, that is you've covered high school football in a variety of
stadia.
I've
covered it from 1A to 7A.
You've been in a lot of different
play-by-play from different. Not every class. Well, I guess I have, because when I was in Montgomery, we would do a game of the week from Crampton Bowl. We pretty much covered, and we went out and did some that weren't just at Crampton Bowl. So I think I've done every classification.
Is there a broadcast that stands out in your mind as especially challenging?
Oh, I told you the one Barry McKnight and I did when Auburn played Vestavia. And they didn't have our equipment set up, and we had to do it from a payphone at the concession stand.
We had a game in my
that was more than a little challenging.
You know, I've had pretty much I've had a lot of success on the road with Troy over 5 years. We have not had a technical disaster when I'm away from home. We did have a game, and unfortunately, it was a situation where it was during a men's game that was on the road. So Barry, who would be my point man for a lot of that stuff at Troy, was unable to help me out. The equipment we use goes through a computer before, you know,
right?
And the computer on our end is essentially crashed as I was going on the air. Like we were clicking the buttons to start, like the countdown was on to begin the broadcast. And so one of Troy's better wins, unfortunately, of my tenure, a win at home against a really good MTSU team that Troy won at the buzzer.
Nobody got to hear it.
Was called entirely on my cell phone from. So I look like, no, I mean, it could be worse. You're absolutely right.
You're right.
But if you go, I mean, if there's film of this, Troy wins at the buzzer, and I look like a guy, you know, who's got a very important call to make there at courtside. I'm doing the whole thing. I mean, I was able to call into the radio station, and they put me on through the landline, and I called the game that way through the phone. And we never had a problem like that again.
I got so many.
I know.
You've been doing it since radio has come into the modern ages. I mean, in the old days, you didn't have talkback. You weren't even sure if you were on the air. You would have a line that was set up. You would hook your equipment to it, and you would then go find a payphone or a phone in the press box, call back to the station, and say, "Are you hearing this?"
Well, I used to be the other guy on the line for some of those calls earlier in my career. Remember, I wasn't on the road as much.
But it's awful when you don't know if they're getting you, or you don't know if they're taking breaks when you call for breaks, and you're just having to time the breaks and things like that. So, I've had some challenges. I remember doing a game from the top of the Enterprise press box, and it's at about at least a 30-degree angle. The roof is so that any rain would run off the back. But they said, well, there's not room in the box. You're going to have to do it from up top. And they had put rails. They had gotten 2x4s and made it looked like a hitching post kind of thing along the front and two sides. There was nothing behind you now. And so they had chairs. They had nailed 2x4s into the top of the roof to keep chairs from sliding back off the roof. So, I mean, if you stood up, you might lose your balance and go off the back. And let me tell you, before the game started, one of the guys that was a photographer who was stuck up there with us walked by, tripped over the equipment that was there, and I saw our little Marty, our broadcast box, slide off the back and plummet off the back of the press box. Fortunately, the cords held, and we were able to pull it back up and do the game. I've done games like that.
Hang on, Mike, because I have I have not been placed in any sort of physical danger, you know, while doing this. Although, you know, it's a privilege to call a game at Duke, like Cameron Indoor is one of those stadiums. But if you ever call a radio broadcast at Duke, the radio teams are up. I mean, if I were any further from the court, I would be on the roof of Cameron Indoor. Like, it is the absolute back row where, like, the lighting guys are. Like, I'm up there in the rig there at the very back of Cameron Indoor, and there are some narrow stairways
You need to do a game at Vandy.
I have not called a game at Memorial yet. I'm waiting to see any
day
now.
There's some high schools that are a lot more challenging.
Any day now, I'm going to get Troy's. I'm going to get the out of conference schedule and find out where Troy could be taking me this year. There could be. I mean, I got to go to Marshall last year. I'd never been up to West Virginia. I don't think I'd ever been to West Virginia before. And we have the conference schedule now. I think we might have a trip to Old Dominion this year, which is a place I've never been for basketball.
I've been there.
Oh, you've been there. Yeah, I've never been to ODU before. So they beat us with six players on the court last year in the tournament. Remember? So that'll
that'll be a little payback.
That'll be fun. I can't miss. Even if Troy doesn't want, I might have to hitchhike right and just find my own way up there to get to that game if Troy doesn't want to bring me, because that's one I feel like I can't miss.
All right, so welcome in everybody. It is the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Scott Bagwell, the voice of Auburn, will be joining us here in just a little while. Drew at the controls, and we already have a caller on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, the sponsor of our number one, and where you're always number one. The number to get you through, by the way, is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box. That is presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast. However you listen to podcasts, go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center, or just go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. Rate, review, subscribe the podcast. It helps us out. And that's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And as you said, Dan, Mike is up first. Hey, Mike.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Doing fine. Good to hear from you, Mike.
Likewise. By the way, I'll echo your sentiments. I bought my daughter a car at Kia of Auburn, and they're fantastic. So the Kia automobiles are great, and Kia of Auburn has been wonderful to our family. So just wanted to throw that in. But I had a question that came across my mind. I want to ask it, give my opinions, to hear yours. I was thinking about, what are some Auburn openers that were in one of three categories: surreal, great, or terrible?
So go ahead.
So for me, when I think of surreal, I remember the Auburn-Miami game, I guess it was 84.
Yes.
In the Meadowlands. It was a pretty close game. I mean,
it was like 21-18 or something like that was the final, something along in there. Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, Bo had a good game. And then I think about bad. I think about App State. Tuberville's first year.
Have been a few. New Mexico State.
SC comes up a lot on this show. 03 SC.
Southern Cal. The expectations for that 2003 season and the being blanked by Southern Cal. Yeah.
Like I don't know if there's been an opener in the last 20 years where you felt worse after the first game of the season than the USC game. Maybe you could talk yourself into thinking maybe Clemson.
Was that the opener game too?
Was the Clemson? Well, depending on which year, 12
one up there.
I mean, the one they sacked us a lot. The one they sacked us a lot. I think
17
to me,
was the second game.
You had. I was going to mention 03 USC because it was a million degrees and we had all the talent in the world, but you know the decision to let Emsminger and Nall call somebody else's offense. Like if they just let Steve call his own offense and learn that, then you know, we essentially had, you know, similar players to 2014. And then on the good side, I remember we played Texas at home in like 1987.
And beat,
and they
yeah,
were
was
a pre-seat.
31-3 or something like that. Yeah, it was a
– Yeah,
Yeah,
I mean,
it was a
Texas
pounding.
Had no
yeah.
chance. And that was back when they were a national power. And then was it an opener around the same time frame where Auburn played Ole Miss and we beat them like 41-3. They had like negative 18 rushing yards.
Yeah, I remember if that was an opener. It was like 41-0 and negative 6 yards.
Hold on. 05 Georgia Tech is the worst I've felt after an opener in the last two decades or so.
All Cox's interceptions.
Yeah, like that, because that felt like a game that was maybe Auburn, and Auburn ended up having a terrific season, I think, by most standards. I mean, that was the only two-loss season in Georgia Tech LSU. But after that opener, you felt like, oh, this is going to be – couldn't run the ball, right? I mean, Auburn was searching for a running back in that first game. Kenny Irons emerged a little bit later on. But that, yeah, it was a stumble to begin the year against Georgia Tech. On the good side, I remember thinking after the 2014 Arkansas game that Nick Marshall was a superhero, right? Coming in the second half and playing the way he mm-hmm. did.
Jeremy looked pretty good, too.
I mean, you felt like you had an excellent situation at quarterback. And, and ultimately, I mean, Auburn had a really productive year out of the quarterback position in 14. But some other things didn't go right that year. But the... Yeah, 14 stands out as a year, as a game where you felt really good about Auburn coming out of the opener.
And you know, there were a lot of seasons where the first game would give you a false impression. I can recall, you know, I mentioned New Mexico State a little while ago, or there were some years when Auburn would open up with a Chattanooga or somebody and just look awful, barely win against a far inferior team, and the feeling would be, oh man, it's going to be a long year. And
wasn't there a Georgia Southern year? We were like down 17-0 at halftime
in the third. Yeah, in the third quarter, Auburn was trailing, you know, at least midway through the third quarter in that ball game.
Yeah, well, and speaking of Georgia Tech, you know, after the two, you know, that was when we lost the game in the opener. But then 2003, I guess it was 2005, when we lost to Georgia Tech in that opener. But 2003, after the Southern Cal game, the next week in Atlanta, we completely laid an egg.
Shut out again. Yep.
Terrible. wasn't that Rod Bramlett's first year?
It was. It was his first two games.
Those first two games.
What was he going to say when they scored a touchdown? Anyways, I know that's long-winded, but
it's great stuff.
We were in suspense longer than we should have been what Auburn was going to, what Bramlett's touchdown call was going to be.
Absolutely. We all have a great weekend, and thanks for taking my call.
Great stuff, Mike. Yeah, absolutely. I want to pull up the year, because sometimes it would be an early season game, may not have been the opening game, but yeah, there have been some you feel like, wow, we're really, again, first impression. Sometimes it's right. A lot of the times, you know, there's obviously room for a lot of improvement.
Where were you after the Louisville game? In 15, like after what you had seen,
I was not extremely excited after that game.
Right, and were you? This came up on the Observer podcast earlier this summer.
Who is this freshman that just came in and just ripped us?
Before the 15s, I mean, that was, if I had to think about the last couple of decades, and certainly maybe the last 10 years, like the most excited I was going into a season. Like, I was just so sold on the possibilities of what that offense could do. And it, you know, derailed quickly, you know, for a bunch of reasons. And that was it wasn't all after the Louisville game, but the Louisville game was, you know, there were warning signs that emerged in the Louisville game that ended up being, ended up sticking around throughout the season.
334. Yeah, we love your thoughts too. I mean, we can continue this into next week.
But
it's fun to think about openers and, you know, memorable openers.
It's fun to think about openers because the college football season starts tomorrow.
Absolutely. 1:30 tomorrow from Dublin.
You got a game in Ireland tomorrow. By the way, a lot of international, again, just because I went to a pro wrestling show earlier this week doesn't mean I'm going to veer all of this towards pro wrestling. Although we should mention Bray Wyatt at some point, because that's
36,
a shocking story. We talked about it off the air during the show yesterday. We can bring that up a little bit later on. But yeah, really, really sad news with the former Troy football player who later became a WWE superstar passing away unexpectedly yesterday. But the college football season beginning tomorrow with the game in Ireland, USC plays later, so you got the Heisman Trophy winner in action, Caleb Williams. Vanderbilt taking on Hawaii, early season action there as well with an SEC team playing. So yeah, tomorrow it's not the first weekend, it's not the first full weekend of the college football calendar. That's next week, but you get some games to you get some games to look out for tomorrow.
Oh yeah, no question. Let's see. Looking through, we were close on some of these. Auburn's loss to Texas was 20-18. I said 21-18. The big win over Texas was 87, 31-3.
SC was 23-0.
Yes,
I think that's right.
It was 23, and then the next week Georgia Tech
17-3.
Yeah, 17-3. Yeah. All right, we'll get to our first break here of the afternoon. Again, Scott Bagwell will be joining us some point this hour. Never know who may join in. We'd love for you to as we continue here on the Friday Drive.
Whether you're a senior...
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. And, let me correct. I said New Mexico State. I was thinking Utah State with Chucky Mullins. That was a game that Auburn had lost, it appeared, down 38-28 late before they scored a couple times. So, yeah, memorable openers is fun to think about. We're 8 days away from Auburn's opener. We have SEC football tomorrow, too, with Vandy hosting Hawaii.
What are you most interested in seeing from Auburn against UMass in the opener? Like, what single?
I just want to watch. I want to watch all the new guys. I mean, there's so many new guys to watch. I don't know that there's anything I can really take because I don't expect UMass to be very good.
And even
if Auburn really, really struggles in any area, I'll probably want to see how that area plays the following week.
The problem with overreacting to anything you see against UMass, aside from an injury, because then, if somebody's unavailable, that's something to consider. But if a position group struggles against UMass, you can chalk it up to any number of factors, it being a hiccup, it being the first week, anything. If a group excels against UMass, you don't want to overreact to that because the metrics would tell you UMass is one of the two or three.
Metrics would tell you they may be the worst.
Yeah, I mean they're going to
Division One football.
I believe they're an underdog to New Mexico State tomorrow, and those are two of the teams near the bottom of the bowl subdivision on paper going into the season. So yeah, that's you would think that Auburn will have a lot of success against UMass. With virtually anything they try, but you have to go out there and actually do it. I want to see, I guess I want to see just sort of what who the first guys called upon are. What position groups are the first ones out there. If there's anyone who, especially in the first couple drives, if the game goes as people think it will, if that's what it looks like, who's out there first. Who's out there a lot on those first few drives, and if we can sort of take anything from that as far as how the coaches view the players most deserving of playing time going into, not just deserving of, but the players who helped the team the most by being out there first couple weeks of the season. So, yeah, I mean, I'm more than any one position group's success or failure. Yeah, like you, I want to see who's out there, and I want to see how often they're out there compared to the other guys, who could be out there instead.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. We think we know. I mean, we've seen a good bit of some of the workouts and have an idea who is going to be playing, but we don't know really how they're going to play. I mean, when they get out there, and we've already heard Hugh Freeze talk about the team being flat when they've gone out to Jordan-Hare, how are they going to react when they're 80,000 plus there, and I guess 88,000 plus there at Jordan-Hare Stadium? I mean, some of these guys have never played in front of crowds that big.
Sure, even coming from the transfer portal.
Right.
You'd think, some of these guys, some of the group of five players have been a visiting team in openers against Power Five opponents, and you know certainly some of the transfers coming from the Power Five. A big stadium is nothing new to Peyton Thorne, for instance, having played
Michigan
State played, on the road against Big Ten teams.
The Horseshoe. He's played some big places.
Yeah, he's done at Penn State. You know he's done some big stages in college football before, but. No, I think that you're right. For some of the – here's an example. If Auburn played tomorrow, is Isaiah Tuttle-Miller the starting right tackle?
I think so.
He would be someone that you'd be interested to see. How does he react to
– coming from junior college.
Coming from junior college. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's someone who truly is – you know, it's going to be kind of foreign to him. Shane Hooks, right? I mean, it's he was at Jackson State, and they played – in smaller venues, for the most part, last season at the championship subdivision level. I think Jackson State played. I think they played on the road against a bowl subdivision team last year, but I'm not sure about it. I would think Shane Hooks would be another player where, I'm curious to see what impact the bright lights of Jordan-Hare Stadium and the sellout crowd could have on a guy that we've had rave reviews. You know, there have been. There's been nothing but positivity about play, especially Shane Hooks this offseason. So yeah, how he reacts. I guess Damari Alston would be another one, Bill, right? Because I mean Damari played some last year.
I don't think he wouldn't have the same feeling being, coming out in the Jordan-Hare Stadium with a crowd as some of the others. But yes, he hasn't been a featured player on that big stage.
His role could be a lot different than it's ever been in college football before, and curious to see what that does for – and I guess that's also true of Jarquez, although Jarquez played a great deal last year throughout the season. But Damari would be another one, because I expect to see a lot of Damari Alston 8 days from now.
Oh, I do too. I do too.
Like that, and that's something we didn't
regardless
say.
Of how much – I mean, no matter what, and we don't know – we still don't know, if Jarquez is available, for game one.
There has been nothing from the university.
But I would say even if no matter what, Damari Alston's going to play a large role.
Yeah, Jarquez wasn't out there for the first week that we were out there for spring practice or so. You know, maybe it wasn't a full week. I forget. But he missed the first couple days of spring practice or fall practice. There's been no word from the university about whether or not Jarquez is suspended. I suspect we won't know his availability until the game starts and we see whether or not he's out there. But like you said, regardless of whether or not his status does not impact the fact that we think we're going to see a lot of Damari Alston, not just in the opener, but that's the plan at the moment because of the offseason he's had. And the ability
the fall that he's had, too.
The way he's been able to showcase himself.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Anything you want to talk about, you want to look ahead toward next week? You got any thoughts about tomorrow's games? I mean, we mentioned the Notre Dame-Navy game, Vandy-Hawaii game. Anything else that is really of interest to you? You've got the UMass-New Mexico State game where a couple of Auburn's opponents, including the season opener, are playing.
Would you ever want Auburn to play a regular season college football game outside of the United States of America?
If you're going to do it, the opener's the time to do it.
Who would you want to play and where?
I don't know that I'd want to play Notre Dame in Ireland.
Okay.
I mean,
it's a road game.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's a road game.
It is. I've seen two or three reports. Yeah, it's like they said Dublin is green and gold. I mean,
trying to think who you could play and play like Syracuse and Toronto or something
to try to come up with a
an international game.
I mean, you'd have to almost do it like Auburn did with the Bacardi Bowl or something like that. Play, maybe play somebody in. We're already hot enough weather. I don't know what I'm thinking about getting closer to the equator to open the season. I'd rather go to cooler climes.
Can we visit Cuba? As diplomatic stuff, are we done with that, or is that get cut
I don't know.
Again?
I mean, how about playing?
Cuba would be on my list.
Let's play somebody in like Alaska.
Okay, this is we'll
the sun would the sun would barely be going down.
We will table this discussion for another off season.
Or we'll take your suggestions. You're gonna help John Cohen schedule.
Well, actually, we had a caller yesterday ask us. if you could schedule an out-of-conference game for Auburn, who would you want to play?
Today it's where.
Well, but yeah, but the question yesterday,
who would you play where?
I'd like our next, I'd like our next guest to answer that question as part of his appearance when we come back.
All right, Scott Bagwell joins us on the other side. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive, 25 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio with Drew at the controls. And right now we're going to head to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And I would guess somewhere north of Montgomery is our next guest. And that is the voice of the Auburn High School Tigers, Scott Bagwell, who will be calling Auburn and Hoover tonight over on Wings 94.3. Scott, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you? Yes, we are indeed north of Montgomery. I think the last sign we just saw was Jemison. That area.
Oh, you're not too terribly far away. And Scott was asking me, would I take 85 or 280? And I said, I would take 85 when you're going to Hoover because you're avoiding towns and lights and slower speed limits. And Hoover's also on the left side.
We made excellent time going to and from Hoover. Not at a safe rate of speed, not doing anything reckless. Going to and from Hoover from this radio station for media days, the last time it was up there, we did very well. So I would echo Bill and say, yeah, take the interstate.
So Scott, I was talking with Dan. We're giving him some of the information you were giving me today. You're taking some extra equipment that you weren't planning on just in case, right?
Yeah, we get told, hey, you're playing at Hoover. I'm like, Hoover Met, minor league stadium. They got SEC baseball there every single year. I'm not going to have to worry about it. One less thing. Decided to double check just to be sure today. And by the time we got a hold of somebody, they were like, you're going to be outside in a covered patio, and I would bring stuff with you just to make sure in case the game day people didn't leave stuff. So, yeah, we're loaded to the gills with chairs and wires and all kinds of fun stuff.
Hey, at least you're not having to take cover or anything like that. And you do have a patio. We were talking about it a little while ago. I'm sure you've had some challenges too, doing different sports, especially, football and baseball. There's no telling where you're going to be doing games.
They could have put them on the field, right? Put you in the back corner.
Scott remembers the trip to Mobile when we were sitting in the stands.
I remember the trip to Montgomery doing a broadcast from the top of the Alabama State practice facility.
God, that's right. I forgot about that one. Oh, yeah.
They cut the lights off during the last segment.
And it cut our power.
Mid-sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scott and I have done some broadcasts where the lights were cut off during segments as well. So we're part of that club.
Well, all right, let's some challenges there beforehand. Hey, Auburn's got a challenge on their hands tonight against Hoover.
Yeah, Hoover, last year Auburn wins the game on a field goal pretty much at the buzzer, and then Hoover goes on to win out in the regular season. It was just kind of funny. I was doing some research on Hoover because everybody knows what Thompson has done the last 5 years. They've become the dominant program, five straight state titles,
right,
or five straight state title game appearances, four straight state championships. Hoover's won three regions during that stretch, and they're in the same region as Thompson. They just lose the Final Four matchup. So, Hoover, even though everybody's like, yeah, well, Thompson's passed them, Hoover's still winning a whole lot of football games, and they're still a really darn good football program. And it should be a whole lot of fun tonight, as there's going to be a bunch of Tigers who get their welcome into 7A football in about as big of an environment as you're going to see.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great way. I mean, it's great to open up with a big game like that. And we talked about it, the fact that Auburn and Hoover are, two of the schools that have trouble finding anybody to play anyway. So you might as well find out an awful lot about yourself right from the opening kick of the season.
Yeah, Hoover is playing. I know they're playing Mountain Brook as well, is one of the top teams in 6A. Auburn's playing Hoover and Ramsey, who won state last year. Opelika's having they're playing Theodore, who was the number one team in 6A last year at one point, and then they open this year with Thompson. So everybody that's in 7A is starting to have to kind of play each other, which I think next year is going to stop because you don't know who the playoffs matchups are going to be year to year from region to region. So you might see the end because tonight's a great game for 7A football. You have Auburn Hoover, Hewitt against Central, and then Opelika against Thompson. I don't know if we're going to see a whole lot of 7A matchups like that going forward just because you don't know who you're going to play in the playoffs.
No kidding. I mean, you're absolutely right about that. Scott, let's talk a little bit about you. You told me, you gave me a number the other day that caught me by surprise. I knew Auburn lost an awful lot of players off of last year's team that played for the title, but I mean, I didn't realize the number of returning starters was as low as it is.
Yeah, you look at the offensive defense for 22 starters, Auburn returns 4. And so that now some of the guys that are stepping up and starting tonight played. They played special teams. They were rotators. But as far as being on the field for snap one, there are only 4 guys back that that started at the end of the year last year. And again, it's a credit to what that class was last year, that senior class. But it's going to be for me, knowing some of those players and seeing them come up through the system, it's going to be exciting. But also, you know, the other part is, you know, don't know what's going to happen.
All right. So as we head into the season, what in your mind is the strength and what is the biggest concern with Auburn High this year?
I think the strength is going to be the linebacking core. I think they're going to be really, really good. And the receivers, I think, are going to be really good. So give you a position on each side of the ball. Mm-hmm. Receivers return Ian Nation, who had the most yards and most catches in a single season in Auburn High School history last year. And the backers return a couple of guys who played a lot in rotation roles that had really good springs and really good summers in Wyatt Trexler and Ty Hutton. I think are going to have really, really good seasons. The biggest question mark for me offensively is on the offensive line, 4 new starters. And on the defense to start the year, it's in the back 4 where you're going to have 4 new starters going today as Auburn has somebody else out with an injury. 4 new guys who are getting their first taste of varsity action against a Hoover team that's going to take some shots downfield.
Talking with Scott Bagwell, the voice of Auburn High football, as the Tigers open up the season tonight at Hoover.
Did Auburn bring back the same coaching staff? Was there any turnover anywhere from this year to last year?
Nope, same defensive coordinator, same offensive coordinator. They added some people, but nobody else moved out of the system. So that's been one thing since Coach Etheridge came in a couple of years ago. It's been the same system, same scheme, same terminology across the board for 3 years now.
And that's something for a program that's been as successful as Auburn. Like you don't see that across the state where they're able to keep the key figures in the staff because you know you'd think there might be. There might be other opportunities available or people, you know, that they'd be high on the list for prospective jobs. But yeah, credit to the situation Auburn provides, right? That they can hold the staff together, with all the success they've enjoyed.
Yeah, I think it's a big credit to Auburn High School and the community where you have a place that coaches love to be in, and they're not, and you're giving them the opportunity to stay here and be in a good situation. Whereas you don't let the eyes wander, so to speak. So it's been great. The other part is when you have coaches that have kids that are coming up through the system, when you have a strong school system, they want to stay that much more.
Hey, Scott, so you mentioned Opelika and Thompson squaring off tonight as well. Thompson comes into the season as the number one team in the state. I think there are a lot of reasons why folks are high on them this year. What are you expecting in the Opelika Thompson game?
I'm interested to see what happens there. Thompson lost a lot on defense. Now they return a good bit as well, but Peter Woods might be the best high school player I've ever seen in person, and he's now up at Clemson. And then Tony Mitchell, the defensive back who went to Alabama, really, really good. So I think defensively they're not going to be near as strong as they normally are. Offensively, they have a chance to be pretty darn powerful. Everybody remembers what the quarterback did in the state title game a year ago. And then I see an article that says that they got two quarterbacks, and it might be kind of a two-quarterback system going on at Thompson, and then, you know, they're going to be good up front. You know, Thompson's Thompson right now. Opelika returns a bunch from a talented team last year that got hurt. They got the injury bug and missed the playoffs. They got talent on defense. They got a really talented quarterback, and they got a good running back. I'm interested to see how that plays out in Montgomery. It's a later start, but it's an opportunity for Opelika, who missed the playoffs last year, to go out there and have a good showing and say, hey, you know, we're here to make some noise this year.
What's got to go right for Auburn tonight if they're going to if they're going to head up to Birmingham and come home with a win?
I think Auburn needs to play well early. It's cliche, but with so many new starters and so many people taking the field in live, real varsity action for the first time, I don't think you can have anything that can go very, very pat. Like, you can't throw a pick first drive. Can't get beat over the top defensively on the first drive. Auburn needs to get settled into the football game and then just play. And then, it, you know, you can throw in whichever normal thing, you know, turnovers and all that. Obviously, that's important. But I think Auburn needs to find a way to have some success early in the game against Hoover and then just kind of settle into a football game and go play.
Yeah, and let some of the young guys get a little confidence. I mean, that's part of that, too, as
yeah.
well. So
I expect Auburn to try to get Jackson Kilgore into the rhythm early, let the youngster have some success at quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. It's great. High school football is here. At least if you're going to have to drive up there and back, they didn't push it back an hour because it's really not going to make much difference temperature-wise.
No, Coach Etheridge, when I talked to him about it, I was like, hey, it's projected to be 93 at 7 and 91 at 8 o'clock. Might as well play.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, 7 o'clock kick. Let everybody know how they can hear it and when.
6:30 start, 7 o'clock kick, all the action on Wings 94.3. Myself and Jack Hutton will have all the action as Auburn tries to go 1-0 as ranked number 2 in the state, highest preseason ranking in program history.
Absolutely. Great stuff, Scott. Really appreciate it. Have a great broadcast.
Thanks, y'all. Have a good one.
All right, Scott Bagwell joining us here on the Friday Drive on his way to the season opener, Auburn and Hoover tonight. And again, 6:30 airtime on Wings.
Scott's still there. Do you hang up? Forgot to ask him that question we were going to do in the commercial break about where
he's
Yeah. Remind me next week.
We'll
We'll do it next week.
All right, we'll get to our final break of hour number one. Bill and Dan, come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
Cole and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, final segment here of hour number one with Bill and Dan.
Yeah, you know what, and we mentioned this a little bit earlier in the show, and it's a college football story in a way because it involves someone who played college football, but it's a lot more than that to folks, and that's the news that broke towards the end of yesterday's show about Bray Wyatt. Wyndham Rotunda was a college football player at Troy under Larry Blakeney, played there in the late 2000s. And then was better known as a professional wrestler. Spent about 13 years or so in the WWE under the name Bray Wyatt. Was a world champion, main event. One of the top stars for WWE at times in his tenure. Just an unusual guy. You know, didn't look like your typical WWE wrestler. Bill, I don't know how familiar you were with Bray Wyatt, but this is sort of
not really.
It's what he looked like. I mean, so he was he did not look, you know, he had a very unusual way about him, which endeared him to a lot of people. And there's been an outpouring of across not just wrestling but sports and entertainment, an outpouring of grief for the tragic news that at the age of 36 yesterday he passed away. Father of four, he was the son and grandson of professional wrestling stars as well, third generation performer, and yeah, not much. I can't add a ton of like perspective there, but he was a you know, it's really sad because this was a young, really talented, creative guy, and he leaves behind a lot of people who are going to miss him a lot, and that's a it's really sad. And so condolences to folks who actually knew him. You know, I met Bray Wyatt once back in Los Angeles and chatted with him. I actually knew somebody I knew from high school played on that Troy team with him. So we had a mutual friend, and I would hear stories about him before he was famous because I was a fan of his father. So it was just a guy who made a huge impact in a short amount of time and will be missed by a lot of people. And it's another reminder, and it's a sad week already in pro wrestling. Terry Funk's news, the passing of Terry Funk, who was, Bill, I imagine you were also somewhat familiar with Terry Funk. I mean, he was also a movie. He was an actor in some big time films. He was in the Stallone movie Over the Top. He was in Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze, and was a professional wrestling star for multiple decades. He passed away in his late 70s. Earlier this week, as well. So a sad week. And what was it? I made reference to it earlier, but this was. It seemed like it was going to be a very celebratory week for professional wrestling. AEW is running a show Sunday at Wembley Stadium in London that will be, aside from those two shows in North Korea that the dictator made the people go to, it will be the most attended professional wrestling show, or one of the most attended professional wrestling shows ever. That's on Sunday on pay-per-view, and so in a week where, you know, a lot of folks in pro wrestling are excited about what the future holds, we get some shocking and sad news about Wyndham Rotunda, aka Bray Wyatt, yesterday. And so it's one of the top stories on ESPN. And I'm always nervous about talking about pro wrestling on here because I know it's not what people are. I know it's not like the intended sport.
Oh, no, no. I mean,
and I'm not going to analyze, yeah, you know, Monday night's episode of Raw or something. But this is a, you know, for folks who have paid attention to wrestling over the last decade, you know, that they know who Bray Wyatt is. You know, he was someone who may have crossed over into, to the attention of more casual fans. But really sad piece of news yesterday about a guy who did things his own way and was polarizing, among fans because of how different he was, but was unafraid of being his own, you know, doing it his own way. And so, yeah, it's sad news that Bray Wyatt has passed away. And take care of each other, and sad piece of news to hit the wire yesterday as we were wrapping up yesterday's show.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We're just about done with hour number one of the Friday Drive. We'd love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports wise?
We're gonna attempt. We don't want to advertise it too much, but we may have a special guest coming up on Fridays. You know, on top of Scott Bagwell. We'll see if we can arrange that as we're waiting to hear back. Right, Bill? Could be somebody who talks a little football with us potentially if things line up here on Fridays.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't want to
say anything before he says he can do it.
But I do
know that he's excited about the possibility. We just got to work out some details. So we may be able to talk with him today or give you a little tease about that before the show is over. But for the time being, we're working on things. Stick with us. We're halfway done here on the Friday Drive. We're wide open at hour number two.
Following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPN. ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls. We're wide open here in hour number two. Our thanks to Scott Bagwell, voice of the Auburn High School Tigers, who open up their season tonight at Hoover in a game you can hear over on Wings 94.3 with the pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7 o'clock. We're here on the eve of the college football season. Yeah, it was sort of funny. I mean, I felt like we're going to play college football. We're going to have a Thursday night game, but no. The first game of the college football season is indeed tomorrow from Dublin, Ireland, as the Notre Dame Fighting Irish take on the Midshipmen of Navy. Notre Dame around a 20-point favorite in that ball game. But that's the first game tomorrow. Then you've got an SEC team opening as the Vanderbilt Commodores amidst the construction of Vanderbilt Stadium. We'll be hosting Hawaii, and you have another game that could be interesting. Is somebody trying to get? No, he's putting it in the mailbox. I wanted to make sure somebody wasn't trying to get in. A game involving Auburn's opening game opponent and another team on their schedule as UMass. Are they the are they the Minutemen? What is UMass?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay. It didn't seem right as I started to say that.
You think it's Minute People now?
No, well, maybe. Maybe. Maybe it should be.
Minute persons?
Minute persons. Minute folks.
Maybe just the minutes.
I like that. The minutes. take on New Mexico State. Aggies?
That's right. Yeah, that's okay. Correct. Both on Auburn's schedule in a bizarre
coincidence.
I'm unsure.
It's like the first thought is generally going to be right.
Just 7 games tomorrow, all of them bowl subdivision versus bowl subdivision. Out of conference games, you got the Navy Notre Dame, UTEP Jacksonville State, UMass New Mexico State, Ohio San Diego State, Hawaii Vanderbilt, San Jose State, USC, FIU, Louisiana Tech. UMass New Mexico State is the ESPN game at 6 o'clock. Hawaii Vanderbilt is the SEC Network game. San Jose State USC can be seen on the Pac-12 Network while there is still a Pac-12 Network.
That's not going to be around much longer. Is there any way for us to see that? I don't think we have the Pac-12 network.
Most of the streamers don't. I think one streamer has the Pac-12 network, but that's a tougher that's a tougher thing to watch.
All right. I'll have to live without it.
Yeah, you're probably not watching USC, despite the number 6 team in the country on the Pac. And you know what? When I watch stuff on the Pac-12 network, because I had to do a Troy game. I think they played I think they played UCLA on the Pac-12 network last year, and I had to find out which streaming service offered that basketball game. Pac-12 network broadcasts look great, sound great. They're professionally done, but unfortunately, as the conference shrinks, just not sure what the future holds there. Navy Notre Dame, as you mentioned, Dublin, 1:30 tomorrow. That game you can watch on NBC.
334-321-1390 is our hotline. That is the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. So you can call us on that. You can also text us.
That's right. The text box, 334-564-1840. The Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast. Available however you listen to podcasts, go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, rate, review, subscribe, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center. That's presented again by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Hour number two of The Drive brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Let's toss out what we were talking about and going to ask the bagman a little while ago. I mean, mentioned Notre Dame and Navy playing in Dublin, and Dan said, well, if Auburn were to play someone out of the country, who and where could that be? Give us some thoughts there. Maybe some ideas for John Cohen in future scheduling.
Yeah, I wonder if that's some. I mean, we've seen a few international. Who was it last year? It was Nebraska and Northwestern, I believe, played a game at a conference to begin the season overseas.
Yeah, and look, the basketball team's gotten to make some international trips.
They're not playing regular season.
I know,
games
I know, but I mean,
there.
You know,
No, they haven't.
Since they don't allow you to play somebody else for spring games.
Auburn's men haven't, you know, played a regular season game against Tokyo State or something. You know, they haven't quite
Well, you wouldn't have to do that. You'd play, you know, play somebody else from the U.S. overseas.
Okay.
They've gotten to go to down to
South Dakota?
No.
That's coming up.
Man, where have they gone and played tournament? No, down. I can't think of
you're talking about like the Atlantis.
Atlantis. That's what I could not think of Atlantis.
Is it the Bahamas?
Yeah, the Bahamas.
Nassau. Yeah, they go to Nassau.
So, I mean, they get to do that. Football doesn't get to do that.
Well, you know, all of my answers were correct. They are going to South Dakota. They've been to Israel.
That's not like a foreign country, even though it may feel like one.
They went to Israel. They did not play regular season games there, but they went on a trip. And yeah, they did also play. You're right. They played the international tournament. And that's, you know, adding some exotic and or unusual locations for basketball. Bruce talked to the media today. We should probably summarize some of that.
Yeah, maybe we can run a little bit of that.
Yeah, we'll see if Drew, see if Bruce,
because he talked about maybe adding a player.
Yeah,
maybe even adding a player for this coming season.
See if Bruce is on Imogen if you can there, Drew, because I wouldn't mind seeing if we could.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted. I've got all kinds of
Bill's
stuff.
Bill's got fires to put out.
Golly,
on
man.
Campus.
Really?
The Bruce Pearl
it's
Zoom.
It's supposed to be Friday afternoon. I'm supposed to be able to just get ready for the weekend.
The Bruce Pearl Zoom from earlier today is on Imogen.
Cool.
So we'll
run some of that.
On.
We've got calls holding, too. So why don't we get to the Kia of Auburn hotline? We will effort some Bruce Pearl audio. Let's start things off with Jerry. Hey, Jerry.
Jared.
Oh,
hello.
Jared. Oh, hey, Jared.
Hey, aloha, y'all. How y'all doing today?
Doing fine.
Doing all right. Great to hear from you.
Thanks. Yeah, in here in Hawaii, I'd say I would love to see Auburn play in Hawaii just for selfish reasons. Being in the Army, I'm stationed here for a couple of years, so I would love to see the football team come here, kind of like Vandy did last year. And what was it, Alabama, when they were restricted?
Yeah,
from
when
going
they were
to bowl
on,
games,
they, that's exactly right. When they were had a bowl ban,
they went.
Yep, because Hawaii, you get to schedule an extra game if you make that trip.
Yeah,
I'd love that, especially if someone could guarantee
Hawaii, and then you still get the other game.
Oh, yeah. Especially if I could tag along somehow.
There you go. But, yeah, and then for me personally, I'm actually looking forward to the Cal game coming up because I actually have tickets because it's close to me, relatively close. It's still a six-hour plane flight. But being in Berkeley, it's like I'll be able to go to that game, so I'm looking forward to that. So, and then at the end of the season, for the first time ever, being able to take my kids to an Auburn football game. I got tickets to the Iron Bowl, so we're going to that.
Wow,
so
that's
this
great.
Season, I'm actually really looking forward to it. So
that'll be really cool. Reach out to us when you're in town, for sure, and we'll see if we can.
Dan's thinking about the possibility of going to the Cal.
Yeah, I got to make a decision in the next couple of days.
You're going to be out in Phoenix, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. The plan is to maybe take a couple of days in Phoenix and jump over to the Cal game the next night. There are between the three airports. Oakland, San Jose, and San Francisco. You know, feels like there's lots of ways to get there, and I think I'm flying
into the Oakland airport, so I was looking at it.
Yeah, Oakland still has relatively inexpensive nonstops Atlanta to Oakland the day after the game, which would be nice for me. Troy's women played in Hawaii last year, and they played at the old. It was a tournament called the North Shore Showcase. And they played at the gym BYU Hawaii used to play at. Like, I guess BYU Hawaii used to field a division, either a Division II or a Division I program. And I guess they've decided to just go with club sports at the Hawaii campus. But they still have a basketball arena that can be used for tournaments and it's a NCAA grade. So yeah, they were there at a. It's like Lae or Lay. I don't totally know how to say it, but it was the campus of the former BYU Hawaii gym.
So what time is it?
Yeah,
there,
I remember
Jared?
Hearing you talking about that. It's actually here. It's 12 noon.
Okay.
We're 5 hours behind y'all, but we don't have daylight savings time, so then it changes when daylight savings time happens.
Yeah, I was trying to remember if it was morning or early afternoon. So yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's just turned afternoon here.
Well, it's great. Great having you listening out there.
Oh, yeah. I listen at least to the podcast every day and then also to the Auburn Observer. And so it's like I hear, Dan all the time, even though I'm upset that he never once recognized the UCLA men's volleyball team winning the national championship against Kauai.
You're right. I don't.
There you go. His school, and he never mentioned it.
No, you know what? Some of the Olympic sports fall by the wayside, and there are, and that's how, you know, someone who listens to the show a lot, when we get sort of dismissive of not just the Pac-12, but especially Cal and Stanford. Like I had someone reach out, and they were very angry. They said, you know, those are two, especially Stanford, so many Olympic sports where they're national championship caliber, and you know, in the focus on football and men's basketball, you know, some of that can fall through the cracks. But no, I'm glad when people hold us accountable and make us remind us to recognize some of those other champions.
Well, I honestly never watched men's volleyball until I got here to the island, and then it's like, wow, I didn't realize how huge of an event it is, because they'll pack the stadium for the volleyball team. So it's kind of interesting to watch that. And it's actually exciting to watch. I never thought I would enjoy it, but I actually did.
Oh, it's in a packed gym. It is indoor volleyball is a really cool. And you know, I'm glad you mentioned it. I believe for the women tonight, Bill, the Auburn women's volleyball team, I believe the first game of the season is tonight at the at Neville. So check that out, and if you're in the area looking for some live sports here tonight in Auburn, you can watch Auburn women's volleyball.
Great hearing from you,
yeah,
Jared.
Definitely. Oh, thank y'all. Yeah, now I listen to y'all all the time, so I just wanted to call and say thank y'all for what y'all do and being able to still keep in contact and feel like I'm part of Auburn, even though I'm on an island in the middle of the ocean.
You're thanking us for our service? It's not how this works. It's not how it works, Jerry. Thank you for everything you do, man. And we're glad we can help help bring a little bit of home out there to Hawaii.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Take care. Yeah, don't be a stranger. Jared, joining us.
Call us when you're in town for the Iron Bowl. By all means.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that. And y'all take care. War Eagle.
All right, take care too. Yeah, that's great. Great way to open things up here in hour number two. 334-321-1390. We'll get one more before our first break. And Yellowhammer is next. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. Well, Bill, you're talking about playing somebody where the temperature is nice and cool. And in all my years of watching, listening, college football, I don't ever recall there being a college from Alaska that fields a football team and plays anybody.
No, I figured you'd have to take two teams from the lower 48 and play at some venue there is what I was thinking.
Oh, I'm just wondering, though, is there anything
play in Australia?
Alaska?
You know, we're recruiting. Everybody's looking for punters from Australia. Let's go over there and expand our recruiting base down under.
Well, that'd be nice, yes. I just wondered, you know, Alberta, Saskatchewan, all that, you know, that cold place.
Yeah, play at a CFL stadium.
But, I mean, we'd need a college up there that fields a football team, and I don't recall ever seeing anybody up there playing anybody in the United States.
Well, you bring your opponent with you. I mean, Notre Dame and Navy are playing in Ireland tomorrow, so it's like it's two American programs go overseas to, like, grow the game. So I guess at that point your opponent is kind of immaterial, right? It could be Auburn, UCLA in Tokyo, or it could be Auburn, Arizona State in Sydney, Australia, or something like that. But it'd be wacky.
Yeah.
But I mean, Nebraska and Northwestern played a conference game last year in Ireland.
Well, yeah, I understand your concept. You're trying to take an opponent with you somewhere, but I'm talking about somewhere.
You're talking about making a serious road trip. That's right, and playing the team at their place.
Is there anybody up there in the frozen Northwest?
Not that's Division I.
Yeah, there's no.
That's the problem.
There's no college football. You know, the college system is very different in Canada, and so the thought of you're not going to play a college team in a football game from beyond the United States. There could be.
That would be like an exhibition, which I don't. I mean, until the NCAA completely disbands, I don't think we're going to be doing that.
You know, maybe Minnesota would be willing to play up there since it's close enough to their campus.
Okay, well they need to work on that.
All right, we'll pass that along, Albert. All right,
Canadian Parliament, like who's they?
I don't know. I have no idea. Hadn't thought about that. I hadn't really thought about trying to find a team that you're going to play. We're talking about going to, yeah, two teams from the States going somewhere exotic or something, somewhere very unique or different and playing.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're not going to like.
What's going on with Notre Dame and Navy.
I mean, in exhibition games in sports like basketball and volleyball, it's a little bit different because, you know, it's not. I think the physical danger of a mismatch is somewhat reduced.
Yeah, and you used to have exhibition. You used to have some exhibition. Major league teams would stop and play an exhibition against some college teams, things like that. But yeah, you don't. You know, it's not like you're going to go play a CFL team either.
Yeah, but the thought of taking like an Auburn, yeah, like you're not going to take Auburn and
they're going to go play the Rough Riders.
Yeah, or a plucky team of locals in some Italian town.
Yeah.
Right, like that's not.
Oh, they love football. They're going to try it themselves. So they
brought an SEC team.
Kill some guys if you do that.
SEC team to go. No, that's not. We're not. They're not doing that.
No.
But the thought of Auburn playing.
It'd be a fun movie, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you're right. The thought of Auburn playing. A game in Asia or Australia or Europe, like it's a long trip, and I think for a lot of people, yeah, it would be something that
there need to be a reason for you to be there other than that.
It really, you know, it'd be a really, really cool thing to watch on TV, I think, for a lot of people. But yeah, I think for most folks, that's all. I mean, Auburn is playing, as you mentioned, the basketball team has played in Atlantis, and the basketball team will play. They're going to New York
to Brooklyn, going to North, is it South Dakota?
South Dakota, right? Yeah. It's the Badlands, I think, of South Dakota is where they're to take on Baylor in the opener this year.
I tell you what, we will we'll play some of Bruce Pearl's meeting with the media earlier today. When we get back, if we don't have calls, again, your calls come first, 334-321-1390. We'll get to our first break here in hour number two of the Friday Drive.
This is Scott
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon with Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls, and as I said, your calls come first. Let's get to the phone. And who do we have up first?
Carlson
is up first. Hey, Carlson.
Hi. I was calling in regards to your conversation about Auburn playing outside the country. I do know for a fact that the game, the Dublin game that's sponsored by Aer Lingus, the airline over there, is very interested in Auburn playing there.
Ooh.
Yeah. The founder of the game, I was in contact with him. I led a study abroad over in Dublin, and we had some contact of an original invitation under President Googe to play with Alan Green when he was the athletic director. And so they expressed interest now with our new president and John Cohen. And the neat thing about Auburn in Dublin would be the fact that Auburn is named for a little town outside of Dublin, this loveliest village of the plain from the Oliver Goldsmith poem. So that would be kind of a neat tie-in.
Oh, no, and we, even before the conversation about where we'd like to see Auburn play, when we were discussing dream out-of-conference matchups, Notre Dame is one of the, you know, that's one of the teams that, of the greatest teams that Auburn's never played on a football field,
right.
The teams we haven't seen Auburn play in recent years. I mean that's near the top of the list for a lot of people. So yeah, that would be that'd be an incredible sight.
Yeah, and I would imagine Auburn people would travel there just to visit the site of the original Auburn, and it just seems like it'd be a great fit.
I would love that. That would be great.
Yeah, and. And there's nothing there now but just a little pub, and a sign, but it'd just be, you know, the sentimental kind of thing for Auburn folks. So I sent this information along to President Roberts and John Cohen. I'm not sure if they've had any conversations, but one of the founders of the game did say that he he's in contact with the SEC office and hopes would love to schedule Auburn. He said,
"I'd love that." That's very interesting. Yeah,
yeah. So maybe there's a groundswell out there among Auburn fans that could see that happen someday. I do really believe Auburn folks would travel to that one.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah,
I
no,
agree.
That's really cool stuff there, Carlson. Thanks yeah. for thanks for passing it along.
I mean, we're already sure. trying to plan where we want to travel here in the future. That would definitely be on our list.
Yeah. So anyway, just want to pass that along.
Hey, thanks a lot, Carlson. That's sure. great. That's really interesting to hear that there could be some interest in Auburn there. I mean, we'd have to wait and see. I mean, now you have to look at the new SEC schedule that's coming in. How many games are there going to be? How many non-conference games can you play? How does that one fit in with that? But that would be really intriguing. 334-321-1390. Now Jerry is up next. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I just had a thought. How about a rematch with USC at Jerry Jones Stadium in Dallas? Because that's about halfway.
It is.
You know, so, you know, that'd be a good way to kick off a season.
Be a big one. I know folks who went – Auburn played Oregon, right, at yeah. AT&T, and then I know folks who went to that game and really enjoyed the experience. I don't know if – I wonder if Auburn, you know, has other cities in mind as far as – but no, that's a cool thought for a potential matchup there with USC.
Yeah, at least it's air-conditioned.
Right.
All right. See you.
All right, Jerry. Thanks for the call. 334-321-1390.
We've got the Bruce Pearl audio. Do you want to
let's get to break early.
Yeah,
we can run some when we come back, and that way we'll have time for calls as well. So stick with us as we continue here on the Friday Drive.
334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, final half hour here on this Friday afternoon with Bill and Dan. And, we have some Bruce Pearl audio, but we also have a call. We will get to the phone first. Who do we have next? Bill is next. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. I was listening to some of your calls earlier, I know it all means well and everything, but I'll be honest with you guys, as somebody who goes to a lot of games, I'm done with those off-campus games. I'll go to a Cal Berkeley, or I'll go to an LSU or an A&M, but those off-campus games, there's something off about those things. Expensive, one. I enjoy the campus atmosphere, and that's my two cents on it. I don't know what
you're not. You're not big on the.
I'm done with the games in Atlanta or things like that. I'm just thinking.
Oh, you can say that again.
An exotic, a trip like that, I might consider. But yeah, I mean, I think we're just tossing things out for fun.
It sounds nice.
Yeah.
I think of a trip to Ireland might be on the pricey side. But
You're right.
Maybe
I don't need to retire. I need to maybe put a few more years in.
They
may not have me back.
But, I was looking at something today, and, I thought it was kind of odd. I see they have some Heisman predictions or – and then Quinn Ewers in listen. Now, what's that based off of? I don't think the guy's ever really played.
I think Texas feels like if he'd not been injured, he would have beaten Alabama last year. He looked pretty darn good before he got hurt, and then he came back. So he's played a little. He's shown some spark. And then Sark is a guy that, I think people expect his quarterbacks to produce.
Quinn Ewers, the numbers leave a little to be desired in that the completion percentage was under 60%, but he had 296 pass attempts last year, completed just under 60% of them. Yards per attempt, 7.5, 15 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. If he were to take a step forward, I think some of it might be based on the fact that he was the number one quarterback coming out of high school. Some of it might be based on Sark's track record. But no, they're a trendy team this year, and belief in Quinn Ewers is one of the reasons why.
Yeah, not that he played here, but I thought Bo Nix had a really good year last year. I could see him in position for something like that over Ewers, but the seasonal. It'll play out.
Seems like it's harder than ever. We were talking about this last week, Bill. That if your team isn't in the thick of the championship hunt, it's hard to unless you have just an extraterrestrial season statistically.
And I don't even know if that does it anymore, Bill. I mean, that's the thing. It used to be the best player, and you didn't have to play for one of the teams playing for the title. Now it seems like, and I've heard some announcers say that. If your team's not in the Final Four, you don't deserve to win the Heisman, and that's crazy. But that's the way I think now.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, in that context, it's the best player playing on the best team.
Right. That's exactly
and,
right.
Just going back on our history and Pat Sullivan when he won that Heisman Trophy. It was a good team. It wasn't a great team. But
who finished second? Did Ed Marinaro's team? Was Cornell a championship team?
Ed Marinaro finished second.
I know.
Because that was an Ivy League schedule.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That wasn't a team that was contending for a championship.
We had the conversation originally, Bill, because Tim Tebow I think they were a four-loss team the year Tebow won the Heisman in 2007, including one of those losses, Auburn going to the Swamp. And winning that game, but it was a season where we'd never seen a sophomore win the Heisman before, and it was rare to see a team that wasn't in the thick of the national championship hunt in November to produce a Heisman winner. But the statistics were so overwhelming. I think RG3 would also qualify as a guy who the team wasn't necessarily in the hunt for the championship, but he was having such a strong season. Lamar Jackson. A little more recently, but no, it feels like now it's tough to get in there. But I think Bo Nix, circling back to where we started, I think Bo Nix has the team to make a run and the schedule to maybe make a run. Like I would expect Oregon to be pretty good this year and maybe good enough to where their quarterback in this new world of needing to contend, their quarterback could still have enough to make a run for New York City.
Oh yeah, I agree, and I'd really like to see that happen for him. Not because he just played here, but I thought Bo was a good guy, and the things that happened here were just kind of fell the wrong way with one coach leaving, another coach coming in, and other than his freshman year, things were kind of.
Oh, I think it's weird and wrong to hold a grudge against Bo Nix if you're an Auburn fan.
Yeah, I do too.
Maybe other folks, but like to me, absolutely not. Like that is not where I come down on this.
Yeah, so I hope he has a great season in Oregon and can win that thing. Like I said, I met him a couple of times at the university. He was a good kid, really good young man. Anyway, guys, enjoy the show and award him.
Appreciate the call, Bill. 334-321-1390. But that's pretty much become a fact lately. Was Lamar Jackson maybe
that was the other
last
one I was thinking,
guy
yeah.
who won whose team wasn't playing or right there for a championship?
Yeah, I mean that's probably true unless there's someone I'm forgetting about. Like I would think that most of the guys
since him, it's been Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, Devontae Smith, Bryce, and Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams had a team in the top 10, for much of last year too. They were almost in the playoffs, so yeah, that's. Yeah, I would say that's probably accurate that Lamar was the last one who just the numbers were so overpowering. I mean, I suppose Joe Burrow, if Joe Burrow had that season
with a team that lost two or three games,
I think he's still walking away. I think he's still winning that thing. I mean,
had
I mean?
Auburn knocked him off or something?
Yeah, like if they lose a couple of games close, I still think. Like with that season, I think he still might
6,000 yard or 5,000 yards, 60 touchdowns.
There was a meme going around pointing out that it was Bama in 18 had four eventual first round picks on the roster at wide receiver. In that was the mm-hmm. Judy, Ruggs, Devontae Smith, and Waddle team. But Joe Burrow, I pointed out before. I mean that LSU team in 19. The top two players at wide receiver. I mean, pretty much, Drew, you follow the league pretty closely. The Bengals are in your division. Right now, top two receivers in the league might be those top two guys from that 2019 LSU team. Have you seen that before, Bill? Where it was like, oh yeah, these are the two best players in the NFL, and they were college teammates.
The closest
on the
thing
same
to
offense.
That sort of seemed like the Southern Cal.
That's the closest thing. You had some guy, but even
but back then it was a running back. You know, it wasn't necessarily. To have two
receivers like that, it just madness. But those are a lot of people are going to be drafting their fantasy football drafts this weekend, next weekend. I mean, Jefferson and Chase are consensus top five.
Jefferson was highly touted, but not highly touted when he signed
now,
with LSU.
Chase, now everybody, people knew Chase.
Oh yeah, absolutely. People knew Jefferson too, but I mean. He was like a four-star.
No, he is. I mean, he had one of the best. He's had one of the best starts to a season from any receiver in the history of the NFL. And he had. I think it was maybe the best rookie season that any receiver has ever had. Like this, that people knew they were good.
They didn't know they were that good.
Yeah, there were guys who have had Hall of Fame starts to their pro career in Burrow, Chase, and Jefferson from that LSU team.
I believe Yellowhammer's back with us. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, howdy. I got one other little thing here. You were talking a few days ago about how you were kind of thinking Auburn's offensive line was actually going to be pretty good. And so here's the thing. I read a few days ago that the University of Georgia last year, their offensive line surrendered 9 sacks over 15 games. And so that might be a barometer that would tell you, you know, how good you need to be.
And their quarterback threw for – 4,000 yards last year? That's really good when you're throwing the ball that often. Of course, it helps.
And so what was our deal last year? Well, how many sacks did we give up?
Auburn was – I mean, they weren't at the bottom. I'm thinking Auburn was in the upper 20s or something like that, maybe mid to upper 20s in sacks allowed. We can look that up.
Well, we can close that down maybe.
Oh, sure. If you can reduce sacks and run the ball well, I mean, of course, running the ball well helps because then it takes the pressure. Hopefully you're not third and long. Seemed like Auburn was in third and long way too much of the time a year ago.
Well, I'm all about running the ball myself. Everybody else is pass happy. But I would really like to see a couple of tackles that could bust that corner, and off we go.
All right, let's see. Have you seen it? 30. It was 30. I was thinking it was upper 20s. Auburn, 30 sacks allowed last year.
Ouch. Okay.
Yeah. If they cut that in half, that would be very, very good.
Righty. Well, thanks.
Appreciate it, Yellowhammer. All right.
30. I've got sacks against last year. I've got 32 in 12 games, according to the SEC stats.
Okay, I just see something that says Auburn's 2022 offensive line may have been one of the worst they've seen. 78th nationally in sacks allowed with 30.
Maybe see if I can find conference only. Where was Auburn as we – anyways. Okay, sacks against 8 conference games, 23.
In 8 conference games, so
23 of Auburn's 23 of Auburn's sacks allowed were in the SEC play last year.
Mm, yeah, that's you definitely want that below
LSU,
that number.
LSU allowed the most sacks in
Auburn's
play.
Official stats say 30 sacks allowed.
Okay, I'm looking at these are the 22-23 SEC football extended team leaders in conference games. This is a live stats by Genius. And
well, I'm looking at Auburn's website.
LSU 30 sacks in sacks against. LSU allowed the most sacks in conference play last year with 30.
Wow. And still won the SEC West.
Yes. Still won the SEC West. Although they also ran, you know, they ran a lot with the quarterback.
They
so
did.
I think they, you know, they had
but
plays.
But you would
where,
you would think with Jaden Daniels, you wouldn't get sacked 30
but,
times.
But he might be more. You know what I think the
maybe tackle behind the line,
yes,
got credit for sacks.
Yes, or
when
or
he was running,
he might be someone who is more likely to try to run in a passing
maybe
situation, and that could lead to a loss of 1 yard or something, and that is technically a sack when Jaden Daniels is trying to turn a play into a run. So I'm a little bit surprised, not stunned. Kentucky allowed 27. This is, by the way, just in 8 conference games.
Uh-huh.
Kentucky allowed 27. Arkansas allowed 25. Those were the 3 teams in the SEC.
Golly, and a lot of people feel that those are 3 of the better offensive lines in the league. When you hear people just talk about, well, you know, you hope your offensive line's as good as Kentucky's year in and year out, or Arkansas, Sam Pittman's offensive lines, and they gave up a lot of sacks last year, more than Auburn did, which seemed like a lot.
Yeah, it's a surprising – a surprising and by the way, and Georgia, 5 sacks in 8 conference games.
5 sacks.
Yeah. Allowed 5 sacks last year.
Yeah, and that's there. They are. They're national champs.
Yeah, the number. I mean, some of those Georgia numbers in conference play last year. I mean, we're talking about teams averaged 3 yards a carry against Georgia in 8 games, 2 rushing touchdowns.
You couldn't move the ball against them, and you couldn't penetrate their offensive line.
When people make a big deal about
the
line of scrimmage on the recruiting trail, it's because of what, I mean, in part, right now, it's because of what Kirby Smart has built at Georgia and how impossible it can seem to try to beat them when it's going well.
We'll get to our final break, and if we have a chance, we'll let you listen to some of Bruce Pearl's comments today. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
Hey, The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of The Drive here on this Friday. And we promised it a few times. Don't have any calls now, so we'll see if we can run some of the audio. Bruce Pearl meeting with the media today.
We're good. Yep. You guys all hear me good? Awesome. Where are you going? Been a while since I've seen your friendly mug shots. I wanted to, while football had a day off, you guys... I suppose I could have given you the day off, right? So now I'm making you work. But it was an opportunity to get caught up a little bit on our summer as we begin to get ready and approach the fall. As I will do from time to time, I will ask your assistance in some things that don't always relate directly to basketball. You've been around me long enough, whether it be through Children's Harbor, the Bruce Pearl Family Foundation, or the Outlive program, or different things. You guys have done a great job being able to help us get the word out on some really cool things. So I'm going to start off with that because I think we do have a couple people from the media here that aren't just sports people, and then they can drop off when we get done with a couple of items. First of all, there's a something that I'm very excited about that's coming up this coming week, and it's a musical called We'll Meet Again. I'm just going to read something real quickly here. In 1937, then 5-year-old Henry Stern and his family escaped Westheim, Germany, under Nazi occupation. They were welcomed with open arms by the small town of Opelika, Alabama, where Stern's family found love and acceptance. However, the war left missing pieces for Henry Stern as he became known, and for more than 60 years, he continued to search the United States for other family members who survived the Holocaust. We'll Meet Again is a musical about one man's incredible journey and the beauty and potential of the American spirit. So last fall, my wife Brandy and I actually attended this musical at Opelika High School. We laughed, we cried, we tapped our feet. We felt very proud to be Americans. We felt very proud to be living in the state of Alabama. We felt very proud to be so close to Opelika, Alabama. And the way the state and the way the community responded to World War II, and in many ways to save the world, and in many ways, that generation very well, and you could make an argument, was, you know, one of the greatest generations in the history of our country. And so as we, you know, find ourselves in changing times, you know, to me, it was an amazing story that made me proud to be an American. And the coolest part about this production is it's going to appear for about a month in the state of Alabama. During the day, there'll be matinee shows for high school students and some middle school students, and actually teach the kids something really good about our country, something they could be really proud about our country and our community. And so it's very patriotic, and I don't think we have a ton of that messaging going on. Obviously, it is a story about a family that survived the Holocaust and lived the American dream in many ways here, right here in Opelika, Alabama. And the reason, obviously, it hits close to home to me is my grandfather escaped Ternopil, which is right near Ukraine and Austria and that area, when he was 11 years old and came to this country with his three younger siblings and obviously started a family. And so obviously it hit home for me. The show is going to air. It's going to open in Opelika at the high school on the 28th of August. That's this coming Monday night. There are some tickets that are available, and folks can go on to East Alabama arts.org slash, or actually, is it a slash? Mm-hmm. Slash events. So that's East Alabama Arts, all one word, .org/events, or can call 334-749-8105. Marlene will make sure that you get this information. And that'll be very, very exciting. Last year it sold out. So this year we hope it's going to do as well. And obviously starts this coming Monday night. In addition to that, I want to thank the leadership at the Goose Center, because when we took this idea to them and we talked about, you know, what it would cost to, you know, to obviously rent the house, if you will, you know, such a, you know, amazing place like the Goose Center, they had a better idea. And their idea was to actually show the show for a couple of days on the 30th and the 31st of August. And they were going to show the show in the evenings for their season ticket holders and the people that come to the Goose Center on a regular basis. And that they would do a matinee on the 31st of August at 10 a.m. For the local high schools, and they are. But also to provide any of our faculty or staff or students the opportunity to come watch We'll Meet Again for free. So the Opelika show on the 28th is a normal paid performance. And the only folks that can get into the Googe are either their current subscribers and season ticket holders in a couple of evening performances on the 30th and the 31st, but also at 10 a.m., that is free to faculty and staff and students. So if you kind of qualify in one of those areas, I just want to encourage you to take in this musical.
That's Bruce Pearl. That's what you get when you run just some raw audio.
That's an important thing.
I mean,
he's
it really is.
Though.
I mean, we've talked about that, and you've heard about that here.
Some basketball info in there later
on. We'll talk the basketball info when Brian Matthews joins us on Monday. And we'll look forward. It'll be game week when we're on Monday. Don't forget Auburn High football coming up in a half an hour, the pregame over on Wings 94.3. But we're out of time here on the Friday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. Have a great weekend. We are out of here.